Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the 11th of September 2025. Very dark now in the early mornings. By the end of the month, the sun doesn't come up till, I was looking, 7:30. I'm going to need an oil lamp to navigate the house in my morning coat. The nights are drawing in as well, and the ghost stories won't be far away. But you can join the group chats this morning in the usual way from the north and south on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32, and the email is usculture as well, oliver@rte.ie. Well, what have we got for you today? We have GAA and 9/11, because Michael Moynihan joins us, editor with the Irish Examiner. He's written a couple of books and he's been doing a deep dive into the inner machine that is the GAA. It's written in a very breezy conversational style, like a chat with your friend about the GAA, More Than a Game it's called, and he goes into the hairy areas, payments to managers, the television deals, the awful relationship between the media and the county boards, which he points out, it means we get very few interviews with players in the amateur game, especially the hurlers, he says, compared to the rugby players. We, I think, as a result, have much more higher profile and have opinions on things and a greater celebrity status as a result. So much to talk about with Uncommon Lucas Gael, from cocaine in the clubs to its role, perhaps, as a proponent of a united Ireland. So we'll be chatting to Michael Moynihan later on. Looking forward to getting stuck into that. And also today is the 24th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, 9/11, on the World Trade Center in New York. And we're going to chat to a firefighter. He's retired now, but he was one who survived the attacks working on that day. He also worked on the recovery of the remains. And he's talking to us about a commemoration that's happening in Kinsale this morning. Can you believe 24 years? It's kind of incredible, isn't it? And by the way, on the GAA, there's a section Michael Moynihan talks about, all the clichés in the commentary and the punditry of matches and the interviews as well. Sure, look, you know, the lads give it their all, left it all on the pitch. We were written off earlier in the week and really dug deep now. We really put it up to them. That sort of thing, you know. The game took a life on its own. It's another kind of one. And how you win a match. Points win matches, but also goals win matches. And also a wide is as good as a point. But none of those things, it doesn't matter, because it's just, it's how you get through. A draw would have been a fairer result, which is one I completely and utterly hate. Oh, here he took it on like a man possessed. Well, that was only a bit of a schmazzle. Handbag stuff. He took a sensible option, and it goes on and on. Goes on and on like that for quite some time. 51551 is the text. By the way, no Traitors Ireland for you today. I'm kind of sad about that after only 6 episodes. More I want. And in fact, I won't be here for the rest of it. I can tell you Dermot Whelan is going to be in tomorrow and for the next 2 weeks to look after you. He's also going to go and do the ploughing for me next week. I'll be getting messages of people saying I'm looking forward to seeing the ploughing next week. Sorry, I won't be. It'll be Dermot Whelan. He'll do a very good job on it. I'm going to often have to recharge for the mad season that's coming. Callan's Kick starts up again, you see, in October for the presidential election. And then we have to make a TV special to review 2025 through comedy. And I'm doing the On Post Irish Book of the Year Award telly show again. We'll be busier than the elves, but Dermot's going to look out. I'm very sorry to miss the Traitors as well, because it has been so box office. Everyone is talking about it. It is like olden times. Reminds me of Love Hate, how many years ago that was, where everyone was just discussing it. And I can tell, I'm very much team Christine. Don't know what's going to happen, but I love her. Plus Cork has to win something this year, surely, doesn't it? And thank heavens for the Traitors and for the sport escape, because we need that escape and all we can get, because it's another day of political violence in America, as you've been hearing across the news. Charlie Kirk is the young man, father of two young children, a one-year-old and a three-year-old, murdered in broad daylight on a college campus. It just is eternally shocking when it happens. But this one really feels like a pointed political assassination, because he was a very powerful political figure. As I say, the sun was shining. His wife and children were present. Sadly, footage of that horrific moment is everywhere across the world. And again, the divide you can see very starkly between the regular media and social media, because the traditional organs are not showing the full killing, while the platforms are just letting it roam free, exposing it, people to disturbing content, and that ramps up more division and polarisation. And of course, that polarisation, it's on purpose because it does drive engagement and it drives profit for the engine that is social media. We've mentioned Charlie Kirk a few times here because he pretty much single-handedly made that Epstein files a major problem for Donald Trump, which went against the grain. He was a key ally and it made the story stand out because even Trump's allies want him to release the files. He was effectively the leader of the MAGA youth base, and Trump negotiated with him directly over this year to come back on side. And only the other day, Charlie Kirk rode in behind the White House to call that birthday card that was released by the House Oversight Committee, led by the Democrats. He called that birthday card, purportedly signed by Trump, as a hoax. And Charlie said the handwriting didn't match, even at the same time as news outlets said, well, actually, the handwriting did match when compared to his signatures in the 90s and the noughties. He was very, very influential, hugely charismatic as well. He had that direct line to the White House, where the flags are at half mast this morning and overnight. That is what he meant to the most powerful building in the world. Trump dropped everything to follow the news of the shooting in Utah overnight. And he was the one to announce the young man had died from a single bullet wound. And obviously Donald Trump would be emotional for him, having survived an assassination attempt himself a little over a year ago. How big was he? Charlie Kirk's podcast had 120 million downloads in the last year. He was constantly on Fox News. So he's a very, very familiar face to conservative America. He was a maddening force for the Democrats too, but they have come out in unison in condemnation of the shooting from everyone, right up, including Barack Obama and Gavin Newsom and others. Turning Point USA, that is an organisation he started when he was just 18. He was a teenager and he wanted to spread conservative ideals at liberal-leaning US colleges when Obama's second term had begun, because he felt that liberalism had just taken root in university colleges and he wanted to bring that conservative voice. And that's exactly what he was doing when he was gunned down. And it was the start of a multi-campus Turning Point USA tour. Attendees left and right were invited to debate him. He was an evangelical Christian. He was opposed to abortion, gay marriage and pro-gun. But he was famous for being different to the other MAGA figures because he was prepared to face off with people he didn't agree with on the left. And we have a piece here. Here he is with Gavin Newsom. And this is earlier this year. It was Newsom hosted him on his podcast. And just think, he's a 31-year-old man, a college dropout. He was rejected from West Point Military Academy, which he frequently joked about. And this 31-year-old is debating confidently the multi-millionaire governor of California, who is Gavin Newsom, as if they're equals.
How about the book ban stuff? On a serious note, 4,240 books or titles, libraries and schools were banned in 2023. Is that not, as a conservative?
Well, it depends. I think we can both agree pornography should not be taught to 9-year-olds.
Yeah, fair point.
Okay,
fair.
So that's a book ban.
All right. Well, there are some other books.
Hold on.
Bill O'Reilly's
book was
banned.
That was the Moms for Liberty contention. Time out.
Yeah.
Like, I agree on Bill O'Reilly. The Moms for Liberty movement that you made a big thing of was just no porn to 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
We agree. So those books should be banned.
Well, okay.
So what we should do right now is every California school that has porn in their library should be kicked out.
Does that include the Bible?
Ban. Well, I wouldn't say the Song of Solomon is porn.
No, but I mean, some have made that point. Is that a fair point or is it offensive?
I don't think that's fair
at
all.
And as a man of faith, and I deeply admire that about you.
Thank you.
Sincerely.
Yes, but no, I mean, again, the Song of Solomon is rather risque.
No, it's
very. But what we're talking about in these books is not just the words, it's also the images.
So there you go. That was Charlie Kirk with Gavin Newsom, governor of California. And by the way, the shooter is still at large. They arrested the wrong person initially. There was a lot of confusion. Utah is a state where students can carry guns with them with a permit, but there's not a lot of discussion about the proliferation of guns there. And there are appeals for calm this morning, not from the White House exactly, because Trump is blaming what he calls a radical left. His statement says, for years, those on the radical left compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. And the New York Times said that just the other day, Trump was face to face with protesters in Washington who called him Hitler. He says this kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today. But of course, Trump will also know the only person who described him once as America's Hitler in 2016 was J.D. Vance, his vice president. There are other side shoots of this story. The New York Magazine has a piece called The Assassination Video Nobody Asked For. And they're just talking about these graphic videos that have been doing the rounds on Twitter and TikTok and elsewhere, and they reached out to several platforms on what they're going to do with this this very, very violent video that's open to all. Meta, the Facebook company, says it has age-rated the video to 18 and is marking it as sensitive, so they're doing as little as possible. YouTube said it's going to monitor a platform, adding 18 and up age restrictions, removing some content that fails to provide context, and the former Twitter company didn't respond, and there are no checks really there at all since Elon Musk took over. Another bit of it is that Matthew Dowd, he's an MSNBC political analyst on live television discussing the shooting. He was asked about the environment in which the shooting like this takes place, and he says, well, Charlie Kirk is one of the most divisive younger figures in this, constantly pushing hate speech, said you can't stop with these sort of awful thoughts you have and saying these awful words and not expect awful actions to take place. There's fury in the company over his words on air. The president of MSNBC said the comments were inappropriate, insensitive and unacceptable. And Matthew Dowd has now been fired. That's what's happening in America this morning. Extraordinary. There are other political stories struggling to get a view this morning. One of them is Kamala Harris, who has announced a new book. It's called 107 Days. And an excerpt has been published in The Atlantic in the last few hours. The length, the 107 days refers to the length of her failed presidential campaign. So what is she saying? And the top thing is that she calls Joe Biden's re-election bid reckless. Said, it's Joe and Jill's decision. We all said that. It was like a mantra in the White House. It was like we were hypnotized. Was it grace or was it recklessness? In retrospect, I think it was recklessness. And she says she was sidelined, denied credit for her work by Joe Biden and his team. And she also says there was no big conspiracy to hide Joe Biden's frailty and his mental decline, describing the former president as a smart guy with long experience, able to discharge the duties of president. But at 81, Joe got tired. That's when his age showed in physical and verbal stumbles, which will get a lot of attention in the Republican news. She's going to go on a book tour, 15 cities in that fraught atmosphere after the shooting. It's extraordinary. And what's relevant also here is that Donald Trump revoked her Secret Service protection just 2 weeks ago, according to CNN. In the American business pages, Larry Ellison briefly passed out Elon Musk as the world's richest man for a couple of hours yesterday because shares in Oracle boosted with rosy outlook for his AI deals, basically, and made him worth $393 billion, surpassing Musk's $385 billion. But fluctuations by the end of the day meant that Musk was back on top again by the end. And incidentally, talk about that Epstein files, which were meant to cause trouble in America. It's causing a lot of difficulty for Peter Mandelson, the British ambassador to the United States at the moment. And there's some incredible things, including nice notes he's sending to him after his conviction for sex offences. It is hard to imagine him not surviving into the weekend, which will be remarkable in Peter Mandelson's career, having resigned twice during the Blair years for various scandals involving financial issues and so on. I don't think he's going to survive that one, I would imagine. That's for sure. Not much going on with the presidential election. You'd be glad to hear. Take a little break from that. Something that did catch my eye, though, is a story in the Irish Times where there's a kiosk being done up. Now, it's a very nice kiosk. It's in Blackrock in Dublin, so a very nice part of the city, and they're restoring a Victorian kiosk at the main entrance of Blackrock Park. $1.1 million is the cost of it for this little tea room. The 2024 tender was supposed to be $690,000, excluding the VAT, and then they put in $150,000 in case it overrun, because that's what happens in Ireland. Wasn't enough. Another $200,000. This was only in a year. What is it made of? It does look beautiful, and there's a very, very nice fancy toilet, except it has the dreaded sliding door. Have you gone to the sliding door toilet? On the train, have you ever done one on the train where it kind of opens really slowly as though you're in 2001, A Space Odyssey? And you can't do your business in there because of the utter terror that it's going to slowly slide open and reveal you to the packed mid-carriage as you are mid-business. It's not a pleasant feeling. Bring the old doors where you could latch it and you know it was closed. The wind howled through it. What was wrong with it? You feel like knotting your colon rather than taking the risk in the beautiful, gorgeous and very expensive sliding door toilets. No, not for me. 51551 is the text, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Fender, he's very Springsteen adjacent, and we need a lift, don't we, on this morning, a Thursday morning. Lots to do this morning. Even got the sax in there, like the E Street Band. Texter says, Sam Fender's more Brandon Flowers than Bruce here, don't you think? You could be listening to The Killers. Well, they're quite close to Bruce Springsteen at times as well. I think he's very... 1, 2, 3, 4. It's very Bruce Springsteen, this track. That's people watching from Sam Fender. And 51551 is the text. You can join the group chats. I think you will want to, because Michael Moynihan's book is described as something that's going to start 1,000 debates in the GAA. We're going to come to it right after this Suspiog.